We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The Bucks won a f***ing NBA championship.
Yeah!
What? What?
He tries to take a pulse fake.
Watching that basketball game, like, caused health problems for me.
Boogie hates racism and Chris Paul. And who cannot get on board with that platform?
If I've learned a lot, this, I'm not going to say it. That sounds too
bad. Yeah, that was good. Roll.
No.
If the Bucks do win it all, Pat Connaughton's numbers should be in the rafters.
Hey there. Welcome to the Eurostep Podcast Network. Great result for Boston. The Bucks game three win, one of the closest games I think all year, for quite a while, that I've seen, Bucks or otherwise. I am Ty Windisch, one of the hosts of the Eurostep, joined as always by my affable co-host, Rohan Kadi, and our delightful friend from the Win in Six podcast, Adam McGee. We are figuring out my setup, and we are hyperventilating over the Bucks, but things are good, I think. Let's find out. Fellas, how's it going?
I'm dying.
I'm doing great. I wasn't worried at all. It was...
You weren't worried at all at any point. The 14 consecutive tip-ins the Celtics missed.
This is not a bit. It was when everyone was losing their mind, and I saw lots of people losing their mind in various places. My feeling was mostly, this is what we've watched from the Bucks in the playoffs for a couple of years now. Like, they win really ugly games. They get themselves into ugly games. And even with the way things were going, if they had lost it, I would not have been happy about it, but I wouldn't have felt completely terrible. I think the series is what we thought it was going to be. It is an absolute rock fight. Jordan may have lost on his no team scoring above 100 points, but the spirit of that prediction is certainly ringing true. But overall, it's like, yeah, this is watching Bucks basketball. It's not good for your health, but I think I'm like conditioned to it now.
Especially Rohan's.
I was really
health.
Into big Bucks plays. I was probably as emotional about big Bucks plays as I've been since the finals last year. But a lot of Celtics stuff wasn't getting me down. And even at the end, I was like, no, it's on his hand. It's still on his hand. It's fine. This thing's done. Let's move along now.
See, I thought I was being a reasonable person this game. I was seeing some crazy reactions on some in the Discord, as we know about GSPN Discord. Yeah. Still worth being there.
Sure.
Some on Twitter as well. I mean, people, I don't know how the Bucks have a chance. I don't see anything positive for the Bucks in the first half, yada, yada, yada. And I'm so sick of the national coverage of this series. It's so crazy to me. Every game is a must win for the Bucks. It's great for the Bucks if they're leading after a quarter, according to Hubie Brown. Sorry, for the Celtics if the Bucks are leading after a quarter, according to Hubie Brown, because, you know, they devastated the Bucks' plan. The Celtics just happened to score 19 points. That happens. Like, everything is either, you know, oh, the Celtics won't do that bad again. It's nothing the Bucks did. It's just like, oh, the Celtics just happened to not play well offensively. There's no other entity involved in that. Meanwhile, the Celtics defense, the greatest defense mankind has ever seen, has flummoxed the Bucks entirely. Meanwhile, Giannis dominates them. This game,
I saw some tweets. We saw it. Ty, late in the game, which were to exactly that point. I won't name names. Maybe people know. Someone I respect generally, so I'm not going to name names to throw shade because I respect them, but it was like, the Celtics defense is just, it's breaking them down, and this is why they're going to win. I was like, really? Are they going to win? Do we know that for sure? And it turns out they didn't. It's all that kind of stuff. And it's like, oh, the Bucks can't afford to win the game where it's like the Celtics are in the mud like this. It's like, they're in the mud every game. They're playing the Milwaukee Bucks in the playoffs. Like, welcome to the party. This is how it works. Both these teams are going to be in the mud every game.
A pig in the slop, as Jordan
called it.
It's all pigs and slops out there. And I do want to say, I think there's some Bucks fans who then share my upsetness with this. I think we're all upset by this stupid coverage. And then take it too far and be like, Boston's not even good, blah, blah, blah. I've been calling Boston a very good team throughout series. I'm going to upgrade them to a great team. I think this is a great team. I think they are. I think they're legit. And I think it's to say, like, the Bucks, I think, at times shoot themselves in the foot. A lot of that comes down to Boston as well. I think this is a great Celtics team, and I think it's going to be a close series. I still like Bucks in six. Well, if you agree with that, it's you can't say it's that far off to call them a great team.
If they're a great Celtics team, they win the series. I said it from the start.
No, they don't. No,
they do. The Bucks are without Chris Middleton. If the Celtics are as great as everyone says they were, they'd win the series. And it goes back to, it's my Jason Tatum take all along. It's still my Jason Tatum take. He's not proving anything. If you're the guy, you've got to show you're the guy. Through three games, he's not the guy. He's still got time. But like if it was a great Celtics team, he is taking control. That he's showing he's one of the absolute best players in the league. And the Bucks are in trouble by way of being down Chris Middleton, if nothing else.
Fair point. Great Celtics defense. I'll say that. Their offense, I think, because of Tatum, is pretty flawed.
Everyone kept shouting it everywhere.
No, I know. But I think it genuinely is. It genuinely is, though. I do agree. It's just been overblown. And the Bucks defense has been ignored. Like, let's give some flowers to Drew and Wes and everyone. Yeah, it's better.
Wes was incredible.
Nuts.
Like, he's actually the player more than anything that I was worried we'd not talk about tonight. More even than Giannis, because Wes is not doing anything really offensively.
His defense.
He did hit a three.
A big one. But he has. We're going to go back to like DeMar DeRozan's, you know, being in jail thing.
Yeah.
Jason Tatum's in jail. Like,
I just tweeted out a picture of it's Giannis holding a baby, but it's Wes Matthews' face on Giannis and then Jason Tatum's face on the baby. And I said, this is one of my biggest takeaways from game three.
I love it. Let me go retweet.
Thank you.
The good stuff. I'm used to just photoshopping Ben Simmons' face on that baby. That's what I've used that image for over the years. But I like this as a new creative use for Rohan.
41 minutes for Tatum, 10 points, 4 for 19 shooting, 0 for 6 from deep. Rough estimation. Maybe he had 2, maybe 3 good looks this game, Jason Tatum, out of the 19. So I still think he probably shot a little unseasonably cold, although I don't know how unseasonable it is because that was game one as well. But, I mean, the Bucks defense.
Exactly. Don't say it's unseasonably well.
I was going to say a little bit, just a little bit. Like, I think he probably ends with closer to 15 points, which is still jail for a superstar player, right? Like, it's like Wes, to a lesser extent, Drew, and the helpers. Like, Brooke Lopez, I think, has done a really good job this series, even if he got sucked into bad foul trouble again. I don't think really his fault at all, but I just think the Bucks defense, I mean, we know this, we've known this, that's how they won a title, but it's so good and it can just snap on. And it wasn't perfect in this game, but certainly much closer to game one. And, you know, again, their bet is right. Like, you just cut off the head of the snake. We shut down Tatum. They won't have enough. They almost did, but they didn't tonight. And I just want to say, if everyone's saying, oh, the Bucks can't lose the mud game, this was the Al Horford game. Like, this was it. Al Horford was masterful.
He was unbelievable. Like,
we ended up with 5 assists, 22. Like,
22,
he was incredible.
16, 5, and 2 blocks.
It's nuts. Like, this was, like, he was out of his mind. I don't think anybody on the Bucks was, like, that level of, like, oh, my God, that guy's having quite the game.
He's a guy I've obviously watched a lot of Al Horford, and I've had very strong feelings about him over the years. He's a guy I always wanted on the Bucks. I thought he'd be like a perfect big for the Bucks. And last year I was like, oh, that ship has sailed. He can never be what he was again. This was like prime Hawks Al Horford. This was incredible. Like, Bud would have been getting flashbacks and not in a positive way. I'm guessing he thought that guy was gone pretty much. I guess his first season in Boston, he looked like that, but things tailed off pretty quickly. He was brilliant. Like, I saw some commentary on Twitter where it's like, you know, Al Horford's doing this to the Bucks. And there is an element of that. And I didn't think Bobby handled that very well. But that takes Al playing as well as he was playing And then Bobby looks lost. Like, it's not a given. You've got to make it happen. We've been talking about how Bobby has been surviving. Teams haven't been doing it to him. Players haven't been doing it to him. And all of a sudden, like, 30-whatever-year-old Al Horford comes along and he's able to do it. Really, really impressive. So, yeah, that's a great point, because that's kind of bridging your Tatum gap too. Like, if Tatum plays better in future games, which I guess we should assume, although we'll see, Al Horford is a guy who is not necessarily going to have a game like this. Like, it would be a big ask to be like, hey, Al, you've got to go out and do this the rest of the series.
That year off in OKC really helped him.
That's true.
NBA retirement community, except then you actually come back. NBA gap year.
NBA Germany.
To be fair, there are a number of guys there that they go there and they get a bit too good. And
George Hill?
They have to be sat down again. Yeah.
Chris Paul, yeah. Almost Kenrich Williams. Someday, maybe.
All the power teams, like, they're dealing with players that OKC have, like, put in some sort of cryogenic chamber and just brought back to their prime condition. It's working well, that little side project.
Sam Presti should use that on his actual players.
I think what they do, they just, like, they only want the minds of vets. It's like, you know, you're not going to play any minutes. You're just going to sit in a room and talk to our young guys for 8 hours a day.
It's a great way to get future draft picks, though. Yeah, when, you know, all of a sudden guys who look finished, you're like, hey, but he's been here for 3 months now, you know, he's back.
It turns out you can get a lot of draft picks if you give up on the number one actual goal of NBA teams. If you make getting draft picks the goal, you can do it. It's just unclear what the long-term result of that will be. I do want to bring up the Bucks' defensive strategy in this game. I thought it was great. They did not let anybody shoot corner threes. They gave up one pretty early, and then there were some. Obviously, it wasn't literally zero. But every time they managed to chase Grant Williams off of the corner, I was like, hell yeah, anywhere else. Like, I think at one point he even dunked, and I was watching the game with my girlfriend's grandmother, and she's like, oh, no. And I was like, honestly, two over three. Like, you can't let him shoot those corner threes.
I know what play you're talking about. Jrue Holiday did not leave Jaylen Brown in the corner because he was the guy who was supposed to rotate over in that situation. As it was happening, I was like, Jrue, what are you doing? And then I was like, oh, it's just leave. He's not going to leave Jaylen Brown wide open in the corner. So that's a great call out.
Yeah, I thought it was clearly an emphasis. They're like, listen, we can't give up these corner threes. Like, that's not going to work. No, don't give up the corner threes. Protect the paint, especially when Brooke is out there. And you know, again, focus so much energy on Tatum. What did you guys think of the starting lineup change?
I thought it was fine.
I think that
triple big lineup was bad.
It has a positive net rating in second halves this series.
Yeah, but overall, it had a minus 20-something net rating.
Well, they started out on a 1,100-0 run in game two, and it's a two-game sample.
I know, but still, it counts.
Well, yeah.
My thing on it is, I think there is something to the idea. It surprised me. I wasn't expecting a lineup change.
I was surprised, yeah.
There is something to the change. There's something there in the thinking of it, and I think it will only be further reinforced by Bobby having his toughest defensive game of the playoffs so far.
Yeah, but he wasn't alone in players involved in this lineup change having their toughest defensive game of the series so far.
This is my point. The change I would have made if we were mixing the lineup up and we were bringing another guard wing in is I would have started Pat. And I actually think Pat, with his play, that may be the move for game four. Like, he missed a couple of shots that could have killed it, made it a lot less stressful down the stretch. But I find it tough to blame him for that because he was hitting big, big shots. You know, catching high, shooting high, that's quite the trick he's got working for him now. And now that everyone's seeing it on this stage, it really does. I love seeing the reactions to it on Twitter where people feel like they're seeing some kind of voodoo. But it's working really, really well for him. He is just so much more solid defensively. And I mean kind of physically solid, more than anything too, than Grayson Allen. That I think with the kind of lineups, the kind of players the Celtics are rolling out there, I'd be inclined to move Pat into the starting lineup going forward. And I think that might have been a way to bring the same ideas that Bud was bringing with the lineup change, but maybe a little bit better today too. I don't know if he'll adjust that after a win, but Grayson and Bobby off the bench will work just fine. But I think Pat is just, he's more solid all around. And this is, it's a reflection of what we saw last year too, which is it gets the kind of business end of the season and it's like, oh, bigger role for Pat in the rotation. You know, it just seems inevitable.
It's just don't match Pat's minutes with Derek White, because all three of Pat Connaughton's fouls were just bumps from Derek White.
I did not like that matchup at all. I wouldn't have mind seeing either Hill or Carter, whoever's going to play. It seems like Bud's going to try both of them. I did not like Pat on Derek. Derek White, I don't think, is a threat, but his speed is like the one thing Pat doesn't really enjoy playing against, and I don't think it worked well for him. But overall, Adam, I actually agree with you, and I say actually.
Wow.
Not that we never agree. But I mean, there's so many options for the starters.
For once on this podcast, I'm agreeing with Adam McGee.
There's a lot of options, a lot of ways you could go. I would like to see Pat start game four. I would not like to see Grayson start again. I know this is something that I kind of blew off in the Bulls series about, should Grayson start and then Bobby started, and like whatever impact that would have on Grayson. And I don't know if it's related at all, but this was his worst game of the playoffs. I mean, like, he was getting abused on defense, not playing the usual solid defense, taking some bad gambles, not in position. And offensively, he didn't really get anything done either. I mean, I think we saw the Bucks get Brook Lopez involved, which we wanted to see, which worked out awesome early in this game. But Grayson just, I don't know. I think, you know, maybe you don't want to adjust it after a win, but I wouldn't be afraid to. I'd rather see Pat with the starters. I mean, 3 for 8 from three is not bad, even for not a great shooting game where he missed some good looks. But I did think he was so dependable, and I know I saw people were like screaming for Grayson to take some charges, and Pat comes in and immediately takes that huge charge. And it's a momentum shifting play. It was huge. And yeah, it was honestly really nice to see a game like this from Pat. Not that he'd been bad all playoffs.
He's been trending the right way. Like we've talked about it a few times. He hasn't had the big game, but more and more it just feels like, oh, Pat is doing the Pat things he did last year that really make a massive difference to the Bucks.
Pat things are good things, but you're right. It's trending the right way, because once he came back in the late stretches of the regular season and even in the Bulls series, I felt like he wasn't making as big of an impact as he has been. It sort of felt like he had been disappearing a bit, but seeing this game really, really showed that he is a true Wisconsinite, because a couple of years back, he would have his biggest games in Boston. That's when he claimed to be from Massachusetts.
Ooh, I love this angle.
Now, he's a true Wisconsinite. Saves his biggest game for when he's back home in Milwaukee, baby.
Born and raised, Pat is purposefully like limiting his powers in Boston now just to be more of a born and raised. I love that conspiracy theory, Rohan.
Maybe he can hold off on it just a little in case he needs to use his powers in Boston once more in this series.
Yeah.
Just possibly, or who knows, maybe twice more. But I did think the reaction he had where he was really pumped up after drawing that charge.
Oh yeah.
It's like, Pat's not going to be able to go home for a while, but Pat,
when he takes a charge is when Thanos gets the last Infinity Stone.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
What else what else stood out to you, Rohan, from this game? What's on your mind after watching the – what was it? It ended up being 101-99. Was that the final?
103-101.
Oh, damn. I was going to say maybe Jordan's prediction, a variant will be right. Maybe only one team will hit 100 per game. But nope. Sorry, Jordan. You're out.
We've done it again, team. It's Giannis.
Yeah. I was going to say, Rohan. Yeah. Say Giannis here.
It's so Giannis. This man put up 42, 12, 8, 2 steals, 2 blocks. What else needs to be said? This man's ridiculous.
Can I say something, though?
Go for it. Add 15% to his shooting percentage, please. Just don't even count the threes anymore.
Well, I think he could be better.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I have to say. I don't think this was, like, I know we've already had this conversation. We had it about one game where he didn't score very well at all. I was like, I thought he had a really good game. I thought there were things tonight that weren't that good and that I didn't like at all. I thought some of his decision-making in the fourth, when the Bucks started to let the game open up again and let the Celtics back in, like that, when he makes the three and then he steps into one on the next possession, try to answer Jaylen Brown. It's like, come on, Yaz, you're smarter than this at this point, particularly with like 6.5 minutes left. It's not like 2 minutes to go. You can kill this game off. It was so bad. Then he had, I'm pretty sure he had a cheap foul that wasn't even necessary. And then he went for that steal that he managed to poke loose on Grant Williams. I'm like, yes, you do not need to go for that right now. Like, that is not smart. So there are elements of that late in the game where I start to get worried. But he managed to avoid foul trouble. He managed to stay out there. And then he just does Giannis stuff. And some of the plays were incredible. Hubie Brown, who called quite a game tonight.
I'm done with him.
Was an experience.
All the time I was thinking about your love for Hubie Brown throughout the entire game. Yes.
I think he's amusing.
Not anymore.
Nope.
Giannis is working on Grant Williams. And Hubie's just reacting like Giannis is like
like
executing people.
I tweeted this during the game and I just said like Giannis, whenever he drives Hubie, they need to get the authorities involved and arrest Giannis immediately for treason. Like that's the type of reaction we were getting every single time. You need to take contact. Like, you just need to fall down. You just need to be in better position. There's clear replays of just Al Horford or whoever it is just hacking at Giannis. It's like, look at that beautiful defense. I'm feeling things looking at this defense right now that I haven't felt in years.
Oh, God.
The best is when they do
Marcus Smart clips, because he always looks terrible and they always act like he doesn't. It's always just like Marcus Smart doing a trust fall with no one behind him. And I know that everyone is seeing this because I tweet things like that. I literally said he got a DPOY for doing trust falls better than anyone in the league. No one even pushes back. Everyone's seeing the same clips. I think it's kind of out there.
There was one instance of that in the fourth quarter where he was trying to draw an offensive foul on Brook. Like, just as a pass was embedded, and the look of disdain that Brooke gave me, just like, this guy, come on. The one thing I'll say about Hubie Brown is 88 years old.
So retire, bitch. Like,
but there's...
Jeez.
This is also in the broadcaster's power at a certain point, and to Hubie's credit, I think he's been really good up until quite recently. This year is tough.
It's been like this.
I will say maybe more on that in 2027 in a documentary series. Going
you keep pushing the year back.
No, I've been saying 2027 all along. There's no Substack post saying otherwise, Ty, right? We promised 2027 and we will deliver. Now, Hubie, for those who don't know, was an assistant coach to Larry Costello on the Bucks from 1972 to 74. Things did not end necessarily all that great. And Hubie went on to be a head coach elsewhere then. I've never felt before that he was really actively rooting against the Bucks. It certainly feels like it this series. But is it amusing when he just gives a come on now or 6'11", 280 pounds, and then just launches? It's, I find it endearing. If I'm going to listen to bad broadcasting, right, and my choice is Mark Jackson saying whatever Mark Jackson might say when, like, the ball goes dead, or Hubie Brown giving me some come on nows, you know, it's, I got to go with Hubie.
With all due respect.
I'll take Mark Jackson.
Do you want Mama
are
there
you
goes
the Los Angeles Lakers?
No, I'm the Kings, actually.
Oh, okay.
We'll see who will win that race.
Bidding war. Not in this locker room. Mark Jackson.
You think the
stinks.
Lakers are going to participate in a bidding war?
Fair point. fair point. What did you guys think about George Hill? His playoff debut here. Overall, I was like, pretty good. I will say, kind of
wild. He chased down Al Horford.
Yeah, he did. Kind of wild to just throw him on Tatum in his first game back after all this time. Like, at first I was like, oh, was that a switch? And then I was like, no, he's just on Tatum. But he did a good job.
Like, physically, he isn't a million miles off of Wes, and Wes is bothering Tatum. Like, the answer for Tatum might not actually be size, where he's going to have a clear advantage in foot speed and footwork. It's a smaller guy with a long wingspan, and George Hill has a really long wingspan. So he can get up in your grill, and he can really contest your shots and close off space in a way that most guards could not. Like, most guards are in the league, Tatum's going to see them, and he's going to be like, great, I'm going to get whatever I want here. And that's not the case with someone like George Hill. Like, for George, it wasn't a game where everything was going for him, but it's a big deal for the Bucks. Like, it adds something they've been missing, which is someone who's capable with the ball in their hands, who will move the ball, who is very solid defensively. It's an extra option at a time where most teams in these playoffs seem to be losing options. To get one back is very, very nice for the Bucks.
Just the ability to have another ball handler is just so good, especially for this team. Like, without Chris Middleton, you're down like one of your major ball handlers. Just being able to get a guy who you can trust, and Bud trusts the heck out of George Hill. Like, he was out there in the final, whatever, how many seconds there was in that game. He was out there. He was one of the substitutions because George Hill has the trust of Mike Budenholzer, and having a guy like that, there's so much value in it.
Yeah, I thought his size was a bigger help than the ball handling, but the ball handling was nice. Like, just seeing we know George, right? Calm, cool, collected, brings
the
ball up.
He's a weighted blanket.
He's a weighted blanket. A beautiful entry pass to Giannis. I was like, oh, this is so pleasant, dude. Like, this is so – it's not crazy, but it's just like, oh, this is so nice. This is so – it's not, you know, sling it. Drew threw some wild passes. It's not Drew throwing a three-quarters court pass for no real reason or whatever.
No, he threw it to Robert Williams.
Yeah, it's true. That did happen.
Drew is always completely out of control until the moment when he's completely in control. And it's really hard to just wrap your head around.
He times them well, though.
He generally does. But things could be a lot easier he just, you know, got a grip earlier in the game. Like, he made big, big shots. The lead that the Bucks nearly blew, the only reason they had it to begin with was in part because of Drew.
Yeah.
Same goes for a spell, I think, late-ish in the first half. He had a couple of good plays, but the first half was rough. And we're back to, it's like, I don't even know if there's anything new to say, because we could talk about it just like we've talked about previous games in the series, previous games in the playoffs for Drew, in terms of the kind of shots he's taking that we don't want to see, some of the decisions, some of the turnovers, although 3 turnovers is not, like, catastrophic based on some of his performances in the playoffs.
I think he just probably had 3 extremely ugly ones and then didn't have, like, the, you know, kind of random, somewhat sound, they just happened to be turnover plays too.
What I will say is good things started to happen when late in the game, after things had been really disjointed, I'm not saying the execution was perfect, but better looks were there for the Bucks, because it just became, okay, we've got to go Drew and Giannis in the pick and roll. And we've got to work that, and we've got to, you know, in some instances, that's where you're getting shots for Pat, some of the shots that Pat missed. But immediately when they went to that, there was more space, there was more freedom, and everything was more fluid for Giannis and Drew. Being the Bucks, being late in the game and being this series, I'm not talking about beautiful offense, but the margins are very, very fine. And anything that's even just a tiny bit easier for those guys is a big deal. And that happened late in the game. They both ended up being able to score. And just maybe do more of it. Do more of it. Like, to go back to our previous points, and we'll give the Celtics so much credit for what they're doing. But beyond that, Bucks need to move.
They need more empty corner, man. There was not enough empty corner.
Move off the ball. Like,
yeah.
I understand even core elements, things that aren't as much of a focus anymore, and we talk with the quadrants, things like that. One of the things I used to like with that idea is, in theory, you should be able to cycle through those spots so that there's always going to be someone there, but you're not just going to be standing there being like, well, I'm in my spot, give me the ball. And then everyone can close in on Giannis because no one else is moving. But we're just not seeing it. We're seeing too many possessions where, yep, corners are full. You've got two guys kind of just top of the wings, and then Giannis is just there. And he's like, "Yeah, great. We know." Like, that's, it's going back to what we saw 3-4 years ago, and the Bucks should be past it. They were. You got to move, and you got to move the ball. And
yeah,
if they do that, I do think this series could open up for the Bucks in a really big way. Like, that is one thing I believe. Still, it was there in Game One. We know Game Two was disastrous, but even this game, I think there is the capability for this series to slide open and really kind of become something the Bucks can control if the Bucks just start doing smarter things offensively. I don't think that's there for the Celtics in the same way. I think the Celtics, if they win this, we're all probably going to be down to like our last nerve ending. It's going to be very, very painful.
You guys
tense,
still have
very,
nerve
very
endings?
Painful. Yeah, I accepted it years ago, Rowan, and I'm cool with it now. I can live with most of the ups and downs.
The boxing. This was a very boxy shooting game. The looks were really good.
I tweeted the picture of Bud walking, I think it was from the practice facility to the arena. It was for like media day. He's just holding his cup of coffee, looking great. I tweeted me like, just another day of Bucks basketball. It was like in the third quarter before it really became a day of Bucks basketball. Because it was. It's like, yeah, we know. Like, that's the thing with the strength of reaction. I'm not here to tell anyone how to react. People feel differently about this. But none of this is anything we haven't seen before. And none of this is also, like, removed from how we've seen the Bucks not just win games, but win series and win a championship. So I don't see any reason even in these games for, oh, season's over. You know, the sky's falling, the season's over. Can't beat these Celtics. It's like, were you there last year? Has ever forgotten? I haven't forgotten what it's like to win a championship. And when it's a Bucks championship, it is ugly.
As for what the Celtics can do, we are getting some post-game quotes here. Head coach Ime Udoka says that the Celtics, he needs to teach them how to flop a little more. That is
what?
A real quote.
Needs to teach the Celtics how to flop a little more.
Yeah.
Is Marcus Smart won't even stand up anymore. He's just going to do the worm up and down the court. That's going to be the new game plan for game four. I will say this was a terribly officiated game. I think the Bucks got shafted more. I do think the Celtics also did. I just think this crew had no control and they don't know how to call whoever it is. Zarbo, right? It was Zarbo.
Yeah, it was Zarbo.
This was terrible. This was at no flow, terrible touch fouls. I thought Smart was shooting for sure. I mean, I don't know. I just, that's what it looked like to me. But I don't think they bought in on too much of Smart's crap in this game. That was like one.
No, they called
strength.
Him for early fouls, which helped.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he kept trying, and they just weren't giving it to him. I mean,
like
he was
that one Euro step shot up by Giannis, where he just like went through all the guys and then like tried to set up under Giannis and take a charge. They didn't even call.
No.
They should have called a block because it's like there's something, there has to be a foul, and if it's not a charge, it's a block.
Yeah, but
like,
he
undercutting
didn't really
a guy
those.
Midair.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's ridiculous, but...
Dirty player, Marcus Smart.
Reckless, dirty, yeah.
I also want the play that I think Celtics fans are probably going to talk is the one where Wes is, like, sliding and gets to the ball first, and then was Grant Williams, wasn't it, came in and
Derek
gets
White.
Kind of... Was it Derek White? It was.
Yeah, Grant Williams was the one yelling from the sidelines a bunch.
Yes. So Derek White gets taken out, and it's like, yeah, you know, it's a foul. It's not great, but Wes gets to the ball first. He's diving for the ball. He gets there first, and then a player arrives behind him. Wes is on the ground, takes him out. I saw some outrage in corners of Twitter. That I'm like, okay, this is a dirty play. Well, don't want to look in the mirror.
I thought this game had zero dirty plays. I thought it had three reckless play. The Grant one on Giannis, I did not get the outrage at all. Giannis probably did more than Grant.
All that was Grant Williams was not in a rush to let him go when he wrapped
up. But I didn't think it was like, too excessive before Giannis did
it. Pulls him down and then it escalates.
But I was glad they just said nothing. No, it's a foul. Yeah, it was a foul. I mean, people, if that's a flagrant, then just pack up the league. Because he wrapped him up before he got off the ground. That's fine.
And I mean, the tone they set, like for all of Hubie Brown's, was, you know, let guys play and let Giannis and Grant Williams play. And that's an instance where they see it. It's like, yeah, contact both sides. It's a foul because he wrapped them up and that's it. And they, I did think to their credit, they were at least consistent with that. It's not like there weren't bad calls. There are always bad calls in every game. But I admire at least consistency. If you're going to set the terms of engagement as, you know, we're going to allow some contact here. You guys can go at it. It's the same when Giannis was backing down Grant Williams, and that was where Hubie lost his mind. It's like, what's the deal? You've got two strong guys. Like, Grant Williams isn't even really moving. Like, that's Giannis is allowed to, unless he drops his shoulder, like, and is deep down into his chest, into his
ribs. You're allowed to do that too.
Well, if you drop the shoulder, I think you're generally going to be in trouble. But
no, it's only if you like go with an extended motion. You can lower your shoulder in the guys.
You'll probably get called if you do it.
You'll get identified, particularly for Giannis. Yeah. But with the way it was, there's no issue. Like, so it's bizarre, but at least the officials weren't caught up in any of that. Like, they were consistent. We're allowing physicality. Like,
I do think the fourth quarter was brutal. The Bucks and mostly Jaylen, but the Celtics, I think, were drawing very similar contact both ways on drives. And Boston kept getting the shooting foul and Milwaukee kept not. And I know there was a lot of, this is Timberwolvesia and the Bucks are blowing this lead. That was a huge part of where the lead went away. I mean, if you watch those sequences, both teams are driving to the rim. I think Drew took some bad shots there too, but the Celtics really got helped out by some pretty light calls. Fourth quarter of a playoff game. Like, I wish they would just let them play a little bit more often, but the Bucks, you know, as they do, found a way to win anyway.
The Celtics doubled the Bucks in free throw attempts, by the way.
Oh yeah.
Doubled.
They were on pace too. I'm not shocked they did it. Milwaukee did not get many whistles. And I think Boston have more in the second quarter than Milwaukee had in the first half? I think they had 17 free throws in the second quarter.
Let me check.
It was something pretty ridiculous.
That sounds about right.
They had 15 in the second quarter, 15. The Celtics did. In the first half, the Bucks had 8.
Definitely less.
Oh, wait, it's 10.
Yeah, I was good. What did the Bucks end with? Less than 20?
17.
Like 18? 17, yeah. So in the second quarter, they nearly matched Milwaukee's game on free throws. When one team has Giannis, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But Bucks found a way to win. I don't want to dwell on it too much. One last thing. Giannis's shimmy was great. Giannis's free throws were great. We're not going to go into it. It was great, though. A lot of people don't like this. As maybe Rohan and I, code number one, Javon Carter fans, at least in terms of people who do podcasts or whatever, I don't mind Hill playing over him. I think it's a good matchup for George. I don't think it's a very advantageous defensive matchup for Javon. It's a big deal.
Yeah, it is a big deal. So that's.
I do think he would be better on Derek White, but I just don't think it's worth like deciding your rotation on who defends Derek White. Just make it not Pat, and I think he'll be fine. He did do a great job in this. I don't think it's a total coincidence. White had one of his better games, but I also think it's a little fluky. He's not as good as I thought he was like before the trade or whatever. So I don't mind Hill playing. I think it's probably the right call here.
Plus, Javon got his 2 minutes and 18 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, I think throw him in there every once in a while to cause some havoc, but
he
just think
the fourth quarter.
The way Boston works with the Jays, it's just not ideal for him.
I think that's fair. I mean, look, he can find ways to impact games. If he's in there, he's going to give it his all, and you never know when that's going to work out. But I do think in theory, the one thing would be a concern is like, well, how does George look? Because aside from what he has been out with, as we know, he is playing considerably hurt. He looks up to the challenge physically, and this series is all about physicality. Like, I mean, I think we keep going back to that one way or another.
Yeah.
And that's because it's how these two teams play. It's probably the most physical series that is out there. Like, if the books go all the way, I don't think they're going to get another challenge like this. The Heat is where you're going to go, was it?
No, I mean, the most physical series, I think, like, Memphis and the Warriors, they're, like, DDTing each other. I think that's a more physical series, but it's also...
No, but, I mean, in terms of a challenge for the Bucks, just in terms of matchup-wise, like, no one has this kind of selection of players and is going to defend Giannis in quite this way. I mean, others will try.
Yeah.
But, and then that sets the tone for how it trickles down to the rest of the matchups.
Yeah, we'll see on the Heat. They might be close, but...
That's just PJ and Jimmy Butler and Kyler. Yeah,
not Jimmy.
Look, we've got a few things to take care of first before we move to that
particular corner.
So do the Heat. Yeah,
that's true.
They have a Joel Embiid sized problem to deal with now.
They do indeed. Do we have anything else for this game?
No Luka minutes. It's always a shame.
Well, I'm okay with it this time.
Yeah,
Adam hates Luka confirmed. We got Daniel Tyson there for 2 minutes.
Yeah, Time Lord looked hurt again. I think this is the second or third time he's come out of a game and it looks pretty bad, but he's luckily been able to come back every time. But you kind of see why he's unfortunately just not been able to play that much, because it feels like he's always somehow just getting caught up. I think today he caught an elbow from Bobby, but again was able to return. But the Tyson minutes were pretty confusing, but I guess they just needed some size.
Last thing, Giannis, I'm going to say it again.
Okay.
I don't feel like we appreciated him enough.
That's fair. He was transcendent. I mean,
he's good.
He's not bad. Did he figure out Boston?
Yes.
I think to an extent. I agree with Adam. There's more advances to be made.
To what extent did he not have them figured out in the first place is, I think, also worth talking about. But I think maybe it's a bigger conversation. Like, series, that's going to evolve. One point that I did see multiple people make on Twitter today that I think is wise is, you know, Giannis figures things out over the course of a series, because you cannot defend Giannis the way you want to defend Giannis for, like, 7 games and not start to feel the pain yourself. And it just gets easier for him because he is going to overwhelm you. As the series goes on, all of that kind of drops off. And it's like, you know what? This guy is the biggest, the strongest, the fastest. And in that scenario, what are you going to do about it? Because after 6 games, it's no longer just good enough to be like, oh, well, there's 2 of us. It's like, after 6 games, it might be 1.5.
Yeah. And I think he's doing that. He also found Jaylen Brown more. And every time he found Jaylen Brown, it was, I think he really is comfortable with that matchup now. He hit him with a spin and dunks basically every time he finds Jaylen now.
Or just goes and shoots a jump hook right over him.
Yeah, that was way fun bigger too. Than
him. Yeah. Just backs him down and then just goes and elevates right over him.
Bop.
Bop. I was about to say, so, I take back everything I said about me playing 5 minutes in this game.
If I had been on that episode, I mean, there's many things that maybe I'll take up with you in an off-season pod, but that detail in particular made me laugh. Just the dead Panron. Why would you not have the books?
I wanted specifics.
I don't think people realize. I think he was playing it up a lot.
Yes.
A little, maybe.
No, I think he wanted the context. I think Jordan and I were kind of just going to be like the Celtics and move on, but Rohan had the content sense crop up. The Spidey content sense and said, no, flame me. That's called the true martyr. The only person who's been accurately called a martyr this week.
No, I'm still here. I wouldn't have been if I played in that game, but I'm still here. No, I would die. I would die if I had played 1 minute in that game. Are you kidding me? With the way these two teams are playing, you guys would have to find a new host. No, I literally would die.
We'd be picking up pieces off the floor for any of us. Oh, 100%. For like any normal human. Like it's one of those that should just shut people up about all that kind of stuff forever.
No, I wouldn't be here anymore. I would no longer be alive. I would have ascended to a different plane. I wouldn't be doing podcasts anymore. that'd be it.
Well, it's a good thing you're not in the series, Ron.
Yes. So I can just talk about it.
One last thing. I do think they missed the 3-point shooting foul on Smart. They clearly missed a lane violation on him too.
I don't think it was a treat.
I did.
He hit him on the arm before he started going up.
Yeah, I don't think it was.
I thought he was starting to pull up already.
Nah.
Personally.
I mean, there's also an element to that. If you're a grifter, well.
Yeah, I mean, no, totally.
Your bluff will be called on the grift sometimes. And that's what it felt like. I mean, in Boston, maybe, does he get it? It's possible, but yeah, it's not something that
I think the lane violation was worse. It was bad.
Yeah. Also,
I mean, that's the reason they have that play. I mean, he took off before the ball hit the rim.
I'm sure.
That's it. That's the call. They just don't ever do it except for when they randomly want a power trip.
Speaking of which, what'd you guys think of the first quarter Bud challenge?
Didn't love it. I felt like he wanted to set a tone early, but I didn't think, I thought it was too close. That it was the same as the one that didn't get overturned on Pat. If it's that close, it just feels like they usually aren't going to overturn it.
The same. It's just, I don't know. I didn't feel like it was a good challenge.
I saw the vision, but I didn't think that in particular was a very, I think you could have, you definitely could have found a clearer, like, call to challenge later in that game.
Yeah. I thought also Bud started to push a lot of the right buttons in that game.
Yeah.
Credit to Bud.
Yeah,
like,
we'll
just
see.
Late game, just spamming Giannis pad inverted pick and rolls until they stopped it. I think Nekias Duncan pointed that out too on Twitter. Shout out to him.
Yeah.
They found some, like, whenever they find something that works, they're like, okay, we're going to do this until you find some way to stop it. And then we're going to find another way to attack you.
Yeah. No, I agree with that for sure.
Good stuff. Adam, anything else?
No, I am doing some multitasking right now. If people are wondering on YouTube what's going on, I am about to. I'm going to do a costume change. I'm going to change into some Brewers gear. And
are you
going
to do that live on stream?
No, I don't think so.
I was like, that's a weird way to say it. Like,
we'll leave that for Rohan. You know,
if you're watching on YouTube, I'm about to costume change. I'm multitasking.
Right,
like,
now.
Whoa.
Wait, you won't believe what you're going to see.
The thing is, baseball games are long enough that this could be up, but it could still be on. So if you fancy catching the end of a Brewers game, maybe if it's still on, you could go through our Discord and jump in the Cruising for a Brewers group. We're doing a playback for Brewers Braves. So, you know, one win for a Milwaukee sports team, and I'm all set to go right into another.
There we go.
That's called dedication. Check out Cruising for a Bruising, by the way. And thank you all for listening to this episode of the Eurostep Podcast Network. Make sure you are subscribed on your podcast platform of choice. Check out gspnstore.com. Adam's rocking the merch. I'm rocking the merch. Ty's not rocking the merch.
Ty is not in Milwaukee, in case anyone was worried that the game was that close and they nearly lost. So it's fine if you're like, that's not Ty's usual. So is Ty in Milwaukee? No, he's not in Milwaukee.
I won't go to a game. Not this series, at least.
It's tough.
Yeah.
But you're doing it for the people, Ty. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Make sure you leave a 5-star rating and review on your podcast platform of choice. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube, subscribe to the Substack, Pod Random, and we will talk to you next time.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.